Goedemiddag. Good afternoon. The session is aangemeld in Engels. But will you liever Engels of Netherlands? Is er iemand die geen Nederlands begrijpt? Behalve. Serieus? We can make it in English, no problem at all. Okay. Is English okay for everybody? Okay. So, welcome everybody. My name is Gustavo Vélez. I work for Avanade in the Netherlands. Avanade is a global partner of Microsoft. We are in 56 countries or something like that with 15,000 employees. My base is Avanade Netherlands. I am a group manager in the company. And we will speak the next hour, around 1 hour. I will make it shorter, I think, so we can go home. We will speak about the SharePoint developer dashboard. That is a little bit what I am trying to tell you in the next hour. We will start with a little introduction about the developer dashboard, what it is, how we can use it, and then how can we install it, configure, and most important for this conference is how can we adapt it for us, how can we program the dashboard that it fulfill our necessities as developers. We have two forms to do that, with the object model of SharePoint, of with JavaScript. And finally, I will show very shortly how can we install, configure the master pages of SharePoint to use the developer dashboard and a couple of other things at the end, a short thing. Okay, for me, I am principally a developer in the company, and I work only with SharePoint, projects. For me, the developer's dashboard of SharePoint 2010 is the most important tool that I have in my hands, not only for development, but also for testing, for monitoring. So I think the name is a little bit wrong, because it is not the developer's dashboard. It is a very important tool in SharePoint that can be used for by everybody that is in contact with SharePoint. For the people that has not a lot of... My mouse is doing a little bit strange. That is not very handy with SharePoint, of that doesn't know SharePoint very well. The developer dashboard is part, it is a component that you can configure to show information about the SharePoint pages in the page itself. So it is not an external application. It is nothing that you need to do something special to get it inside SharePoint. It is an out-of-the-box component of SharePoint. The only thing that you need to do is configure it, to activate it. If it is activated, you have this information. It is principally divided in two parts. The first part is the. Can you read it? Good. It is a little bit. Can you? No. Okay. Okay. The first part is the left side. We can find there all the components that are rendering information in a page, with the time that is taken to for the rendering. So we can follow here what is happening in the page. And we can see directly what are the components that are taking a lot of time, and that is precisely the components that we need to improve if we can for the performance of the system. The second part is the right side, and there we can find a number of sections. Some information about the SharePoint server with the correlation ID. As you know, SharePoint is creating logs under the table and setting all the information that is there target with a correlation ID. We can here find what is the correlation ID of the page. You see the correlation ID as well if you get an error. If you don't get an error, it is difficult to find in the logs where is the information about this page. So the correlation ID is important to find what is happening in the logs with the page. If there is something important that is happening, a crash in one component or something like that, we will get here some critical events information. And something very important, what is happening with the database of SharePoint, the databases of SharePoint. We get here all the queries that this page is firing against the databases of SharePoint. And how long it takes to make the query and to get the response. If we have calls to services, we can find information here. I am using here a SharePoint Foundation. Out of the box, there is nothing modified in the system. So there are no service calls. The pages and that are called in this page, it is only one, and the web parts installed in the page. Also with the time that is necessary to render each of the, not only to render, but all to process the web parts. Something important here is you can see there is a rectangle. In this case, it is green, but it can be also yellow or red, and that is an indication how is the performance of the page. If the page is rendering fast enough, it will be green. If you have some rendering problems, some performance problems, you will get a red mark. Other important thing here is that you get more information, for example, for the queries of the database. If I click in one of these links, I will get the query. What is the query? How is it is the storage procedure? SharePoint uses always storage procedures. What is the query of the storage procedure? The call stack and the input-output stack of SQL. So if I am having problems with SQL, I will see it here. I will see at one side how long it takes to fire the queries to get the response. At the other side, I am seeing if there is some problem with the storage procedures. Normally, you don't get that kind of problems with SharePoint, but you have the tools there to do something. The same with the request of the page. To get some information about the page, where it is, and the call stack. Sorry. So you can follow how is the process of the page. But that is not everything. We have more information. We have the additional tracing information. And because this is a lot of information that we will see here, you can see it in the scroll bar. It is this page is big. You can activate or deactivate it with this link. So the first thing we see there, the request details, the trace information. This trace information is also the information that you are getting in the logs of SharePoint. There is huge amounts of information there. And at the end, we have the control tree that is indicating me the each of the placeholders, each of the controls, each of the components in the page, how it's rendering, where can I find it, what is the type, what is the order of rendering. Then the session state, the application state, I don't have sessions in session of application state at this moment. The cookies, which cookies I am using, what is the response of the cookies, the headers, the server variables, all the information that the checkpoint service are sending to the client is here. If you have any problem, you can find it here. You need to find it here because there is no other way to know what is happening in a page, not only of SharePoint, in any HTTP page. Fine. Let me see. It was here. So that is the developer dashboard. It is the developer dashboard is not activated by default in SharePoint. You need to activate it. It is a out of the box component, but you need to activate it. There are three forms to do that. The first one is with PowerShell. It's just a command in PowerShell. A comlet, sorry, not a command. The second one is we have in the object model of SharePoint in the ESP utilities class namespace, we have developer dashboard settings and dashboard, class with all the methods and properties that we need to activate the developer dashboard. We can activate it as well with the STS ADM, but that is a deprecated tool, so don't use it. There are also problems with STS ADM. We will see it later. There are a lot of installers to activate it from the user interface itself. You can find it in CodePlace. CodePlace, there are four or five different. But in internet, there are a lot of. And it is very easy to program your own component to activate it. If you don't like to run a PowerShell script each time, you can make a little component and to activate and deactivate it and to configure the properties. I like this one. This Victor Willem is in SharePoint MVP as well. And he made a beautiful component that you can use in the central administration of SharePoint. By the way, the dashboard is a farm feature of SharePoint. So you cannot activate it for a special page only. You need to activate it in the farm context. For this class, the developer dashboard settings class has properties and methods. And two of the most important method is the methods. You can see it there, the display level, the maximum critical events to track, how many SQL statements can we track, the permissions and the trace enable. For me, the most important is the display level, the property display level, where we can set the dashboard on, off, off. And we can set it also on demand. That means it will create an icon by default and at the top top right corner of each page. And you clicking in this icon, you can activate and deactivate it. The second most important property is the required permissions. It is with the required permissions you get access to the users, to different classes of users. You can activate it for the administrators, for example, only. That makes that, for example, in all my projects, I insist always that the developer dashboard is activated for administrators, because you will have a lot of fun if it is activated. In this case, if it is only for administrators activated, only the we will see it in a moment. We will see it directly. Oh, no. Okay. This is a little program for Visual Studio. You can see it. It is just a couple of lines of code that you need. It's a common line program. You need to have reference to the SharePoint utilities. Sorry. And then you make a instance of the SP web service class, and the SP web service has the developer dashboard class inside, and a lot more classes, but anyway, we need only in this case the developer dashboard settings class, and we can see there the properties and the methods that we can use. And the display level is an enumeration that we can have off, on, off, on demand. And the permissions is also an enumeration of the type ISP-based permissions. And we have a lot of permissions that we can set there. And the permissions is a masker. That means we can set an AND operator there to allow different kind of users to use the dashboard. The project that I was telling you about is the Victor Willem. Is a farm feature. You can install it and activate it, and you get this extra link in the central administration. And in the central administration, you can just set it on or off. You can enable the tracing of the tracing, the last section with all this information. You can activate it or deactivate it. You can say how many queries, and you can set the masker for the user, for the rights. I am setting here that the manager with accounts can see the dashboard. The result of that is that in this page I am administrator, so I can see here at the top corner, at the top right corner, this icon where I can activate and deactivate the dashboard. But I have here a remote desktop with a normal user, my user A, and this user A is just a collaborator, and he cannot see the dashboard. Yes.
How did you get that settings page on in some
problem? What kind of yeah. It is a solution from this guy here, Victor Willem. And it is just a solution, and you can just install the solution with the PowerShell. And give me a second, and you get it here, the developer dashboard VSP, and you activate it. And then if it is activated, you get the extra link here in the central administration. that is it's a project in Codeplex. It is not in Codeplex. You can find it in his site. All these presentations will be online in a matter of days, so you can find it there. But that is not the only one. That is, there are a lot more of that kind of components. I like this, and I know this guy, so it's a kind of propaganda for him also. So there's working with the RISE, we can make that for example, for an enterprise SharePoint implementation, that the administrators can use it always, and the users, the normal users, are not allowed to use it. Yes. Yes. Not with the STS ADM. We will see it in a second. But with PowerShell, you can use all the, for example, here, I am using here the property to set it on and off. And in the same way, you can use the property for the RISE. Everybody, I think. I am pretty sure it is everybody. But we can see it as we can see it here as full. Yeah, full. And in this case, okay. And in this case, if I refresh the page, hello, it should be there. What is full? Require permissions full. It should be there. Believe me. Where I was.
Why should it be there? Full means you need all permissions and this user has no permissions.
Full require permissions of. Oh, you are right. Let me try with none. Yes, that is it. So you are right. It is by default is non RISE, so everybody can see it. But it is try to prevent to get this information to everybody, because you have also some little small, very small performance penalty. For the dashboard, and you are showing information to the user that is. It can be confidential information. We will see later why. So activated in this way. The required permissions. And what I was telling you there is a performance penalty if you are using the dashboard yet. That is logic. But the performance penalty is very slow, very small. It is just a couple of CPU cycles. One more important thing is that you are... if you activate the dashboard, you are setting more information in the logs of SharePoint. SharePoint is logging more information. And that is a bigger performance penalty. If the dashboard is activated all the time, your logs will increase, will be bigger and bigger. And because the logs are not saved in SQL, they are just files. For a file, you need to open the file, set the information, close the file, and that takes time. And disks are slower by definition. So you have some performance penalty. Don't use the dashboard all the time. Use it only if you need it. And don't set it for everybody. There are some limitations as well. coming back to your question about ECS ADM, you cannot manage the rights of the dashboard if you activate it with ECS ADM. It is not a big issue. Just don't use ECS ADM. It is deprecated. So a more important limitation is that it doesn't work for our sandbox solutions. For sandbox components, it doesn't work because the sandbox is, by definition, again, is a separate thread in SharePoint, and the dashboard doesn't have access to these threads. Only calls to the SharePoint databases are captured. That means if you are using a custom database to do something with SharePoint, all the calls to this custom database will be not logged in the dashboard. He is only logging the SharePoint databases. And the last limitation is that you can use it only for the components that are running in the web and the front ends. Normally, in farms, SharePoint farms, you make a architect division of roles. You set some service for front end, another service for back end for services, for search, for example. The calls that are going to the services are not logged in the SharePoint dashboard. They are logged in the logs of SharePoint, but you cannot see these calls in the dashboard. Now, the nice part of the dashboard is what we can do with him to modify it for our requirements. We can do four things with the object model of SharePoint. We have the monitor scopes. And the monitor scopes are in the left side of the dashboard. We can make our own scopes. We can use the scopes that are already defined by Microsoft for monitoring. And we can implement an interface to create our own custom scopes. And finally, there is a class, a namespace, SP critical trace counter, where we can make some entries in the asserts and critical events of the dashboard. Let's see how it works. I have here, this one. I have here a visual web part, nothing special. It has my virtual machine is complaining. It has just five buttons and hello. Thank you. Has the buttons. The buttons have an on-click event, and in the on-click event, we have some extra code. The first one, the monitor scope. We have this class SP monitor scope, where we can use it to surround some part of our source code. And in this way, we will get the statistics for this part. So if you have a critical part of your source code with that you are you think that can be very slow or can take a lot of time for rendering or whatever, you can surround this part of your code with the SP monitor scope, as you can see there. There is in the same way with and using of a second. Yes. In one of other way. Let me see. Better? Using a statement in SharePoint that the objects will be destroyed for automatically by the garbage collector, or you can make the instance of the object and in a finally routine destroy it, dispose it manually. It is up to you. And if we deploy this one, this building is deploy, retracting, adding, oops. Okay, we have deployed and SharePoint is waiting. SharePoint development is waiting. Okay, here's it. Insert web part custom. That is my web part. My five buttons. So if I push the first button, I am just inserting a monitor scope in some part, I am just stopping the thread for some a little bit more than 1 second. I am not doing nothing, but the idea is that you set your important source code there. So if I push the button, monitor scope, I will find here my call. Now I can make this also bigger, I think. Where? Windows key and the plus sign and the plus sign. Yeah. Okay, that is also good. Here. There. Gustavo OO is taking a little bit more than 1 second. And how can I get back to my so tell me. Yeah. Bingo. Okay, thank you. So it is nothing important, but I am seeing here that my call to SharePoint to do something in this web part is taking a little bit more than 1 second, and that is precisely what I am saying here. I am stopping the thread for a little bit more than 1 second. I can do something else. I can nest it, making this call nested. In this way, as the second button show, I am stopping the thread for first time, and then I am nesting a second SP monitor scope and stopping the thread again. So if I push the button, the nested monitor scope, we can see that I don't dare to use it again. But you can see that it is nested. It is the first call is the big one. It's taking a total of some more than 2 seconds, and the internal nested call is taking 1 second. And that is precisely what the out-of-the-box dashboard does. It is just saying, for example, here, this the wiki. The wiki, the page is a wiki, it's a big wiki, so there is making something with web parts, and I am starting a couple of web parts and making that the data is there and it's taking all the time. So we can nest, making a nesting of the of this class. But we can do more with that. The constructor of the ESP monitor scope, I am using here just the constructor with the name only. Terrible. Okay. But the constructor, I can use more things. I can say, for example, give a maximum time that this monitor, this part of the source code, this part of the code, is normal to render. So if this time is bigger, we will see that the red lane in the dashboard will be red. And I can call a number of monitors, specific monitors for that do some special for me. I am here calling four special monitors. These four are out of the box in SharePoint. They are defined in the ESP utilities class, and they get you what is the user, the time that the function is taking, what kind of calls are made to SQL, and if there are some critical traits, some errors, for example, there. And I am saying also if it takes more than 1 second, make this line in a different color. So that is my third button. And here is, there is, we can see is Gustavo 3. Here is Gustavo 3 that is taking some extra time. And the rest of the information is in the additional trace information. So if I search for Gustavo, next, we see here that I am getting the information for the request, the how many objects I am requesting, how many ESP webs, ESP sites I am requesting in my part of the code, how many queries I am firing against the database, what is the execution time with much more precision, and the critical events. And that is precisely the four counters that I am using there for monitoring. An additional feature is that I can make my own monitor counters. I have here a class where I am implementing the interface ESP Scope Performance Monitor. All the information is in the SDK about this class. It is an interface. That means I need to implement a number of methods and properties. They are obligatory. They are described in the SDK. And you can make your own monitor class. In this case, it is doing no more than telling how many times the button is pressed. It has a constructor, and it has a description, a name. It has a value is excessive property where I can say I can set some logic there. Dispose and extra text. If I if I run the, oh, okay. How can you use it? Here in the constructor of the ESP monitor, I am using Java. If you see in the last one, I was using the standard out-of-the-box monitors of SharePoint. I am using here my own definition of the interface. Custom monitor, I push custom monitor, and I see the custom monitor, the Gustavo 4 is doing that, and I see here that my monitor has run one time, and the execution time, if I, the other side, home, if I push the button again, I see that the monitor is 2, and it is going and going. So I am making here my own monitors. Time enough. So there's the options say, the options are you use it just out of the box. You can nest the monitors. You can use the 4 predefined monitors of SharePoint, or you can make your own monitors. Other thing that you can do with the object model of SharePoint is create critical events. A critical event will be rendered at the right side of the dashboard monitor. It is as well a class of the utilities, the SharePoint utilities, the SP utilities. And you say only just add data to a scope. It has an identifier and some text and the level of the critical situation. You have 2, 4, 6 critical situations. You can use these numbers. I am adding here 2 of these things. If I choke this down, yes. If I use the critical event button, we see directly that the dashboard shows me the critical events that I defined in my source code, and the line of the code is in red because I am using the critical value. The 8 value. This is the warning. This is an important part if you, for example, for the catch of exceptions, you can set it in the dashboard directly. Sometimes it's very difficult in farms, in enterprise farms, that the developer gets, or the administrator gets the logs from SharePoint, because the central administration, the guys with the infrastructure, they don't like to get information or whatever. You can set your exceptions, log your exceptions directly to the SharePoint developer dashboard, and if it is activated and you are administrator in the site, you can see direct your exceptions. So it is an easy way to get extra information that is there in SharePoint, but that can be difficult to access. So coming back to the presentation. So there's so we saw the monitor scopes, the different possibilities of the monitors, and the trace counter. And the second way to program with the developer dashboard is inserting JavaScript. If you activate the dashboard and you see the source code of the page, you will see that there is a div called developer dashboard. And inside this div is a table with all the sections. That means with JavaScript or with jQuery, we can insert information there as well. I have here a little script where I say I am using here jQuery. Don't take care about this. That is just debugging code. No. So this jQuery, so I am making a reference to the jQuery libraries at the beginning. Then I am saying attach my one function that is GAVD to the onload event. So as the page is finished with rendering and the information of the dashboard is already there, I inject my part of the code. The function has the function has two parts. One is where I am making a new section, and the second part is where I am injecting I am adding some entries in the section. So I am making a section that is called, this is a custom section, and there inside they have two values in a row. The source code is very easy. It is just looking for this developer dashboard tab. Where is my presentation? For this div developer dashboard. If he can find it, he makes a variable within a section HTML that is a table. You can see it in the source code of the page. It's a table with an ID, with some special width percentage, blah, 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 and your information. And this is prepending, so this setting this table at the top of the section. And it has also a method to add an entry that is, in fact, working in precisely the same way. It's making the row, the tier, and the TD for the entry. And appending it, so setting it at the end of the ID. How it works is not so difficult. I set this this script in a library in SharePoint, and I can use, for example, a content editor web part. I need to use the URL of this thing. Sure, good. So, back to my page. I like to set content editor, and in the content editor, set my script. Okay. Save. And you can see we have there a new section with the values that I am using. I am making it here in an easy way. I am making just a file with a script, and I am setting it in a content editor web part. You can set it in your pages. It is just a chunk of JavaScript or jQuery. It's up to you. Why is this important? Because it's very often we use a lot of JavaScript in our pages. If the page is running in production, you cannot set debugging code there. You cannot. Normally, you set a lot of alerts. Alert if this function is functioning, is starting, an alert. You need to know the value of a variable, an alert with the value of the variable. So debug that is the way to debug JavaScript. It is very primitive, but it is the only effective way in SharePoint. In this way, if you set it in the dashboard, you can see all these debugging values of JavaScript in your page directly in the dashboard. This code will run only if the dashboard is activated. So you will have no performance problems if it is not activated. You don't need to modify the pages to set alerts, blah, 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 because you have it in the dashboard, in the developer's dashboard. So it is a very easy way to get something that could be very difficult to implement in SharePoint. And it is a lot of information that you can get there for nothing, for just a little bit chunk of JavaScript extra in your page. That, by the way, will run only if the developer dashboard is activated. So that is the JavaScript way to inject code for the dashboard. Normally, you set the dashboard in the master page, in all the master pages, or in one of the master pages. I don't care. There is in two parts to activate to set it in a master page. You have two parts. The first part is the icon that you use for activation. That is the little icon there. You have all the controls. You can modify the image that you are using. You can modify where it is, how big it is. You can modify the text that you, if you are scrolling, you are setting the pointer of the mouse there. You can modify the text. The only important thing is the first two lanes. You need to have the ID, because that is the way that SharePoint identifies that he needs to show the dashboard. And the second one is the navigation URL, because that is a JavaScript that is in the page that is activating the dashboard. The second part that you need to set in your master page is where will be the data presentation. So this big part at the bottom of the page. You can set it everywhere. You can set at the top or at the bottom. It is up to you. And it is just a control. So set you, that is the way to set the dashboard in any custom master page. Finally, there are a lot of things that you can do with the dashboard. These are two projects in Codeplex that can be interesting. There are solutions in SharePoint. Install it, and then you get two features. The first one is the helper. If I activate the helper, you get this dashboard helper function here, where you can set some value. Give me all the values higher than 10 milliseconds, and directly he highlight it for you, 15 or whatever. There are other things there that you can remove the left part of the dashboard, or not. That is just injecting some JavaScript in the page to make the tabs and the divs dynamically. That is one project in Codeplex. And the second one is a graphic of a diagram of how the page is rendering. So this information is shown graphically. You can see that directly that this there is something taking a lot of time. This request is taking 46 seconds. So this part, it is a way. If you have a complicated page, a publishing page, for example, with a lot of information, this section will be huge, will be very long. So it is a way to see directly in one time where are my problems, where do I need to fix something. It is nice. You can just move it, hide it. It's handy. But the important part here is to show you that we can do a lot of things with the developer dashboard. And that these are two examples of interesting things. And they are codeplex, so you get also the source code if you like to modify something. In the conclusions, the developer dashboard. I made this presentation because I see a lot of SharePoint projects in Europe, and I never see that the developers are using the dashboard in a proper way. They developers of SharePoint doesn't use the dashboard, and I don't understand why. It is very easy to use it. You can extend it. You can. It is your best friend. It is out of the box. And it is not only for the developers. It is for the testers, for the IT people, for the infra people. My recommendation is activated on demand always with rights for the administration people. So in this way, the users doesn't know that it exists, and the administrators and the developers and the infra people will have access to a lot of information. For the developers, surround, please, your code, your critical code with the ESP monitor scope. We saw it there. It is just one line of code. It's not more. And you will get information. If you have problems with performance or whatever, you will get a lot of information there. You can see directly what is the problem. Don't let it open for a long time because it is using log spaces. And finally, please use it. It is there. It is a very valuable tool. It is good. It perform good. It is something that is a lovely component. Just use it. And I think it was precisely 1 hour. So I promise you to use only 1 hour. Questions, comments, something? Yes. No. No. No, and the problem is just too fundamental. It is just sandbox solutions are running in a different thread. So there is no way to get this information there, unfortunately. We will see what happens in the next versions of SharePoint. I hope it will be there. For example, in Office 365, it is not activated, because all the customizations are sandbox customizations. So it doesn't matter if you can activate it for what. For you cannot see anything. So it doesn't make any sense. But it is something that if you are making components for Office 365, you need to have something like that, because there is the possibilities for the developers are very, very limited with SharePoint on the cloud. So we need to have the developer dashboard in 365. I hope that the next versions of next version of SharePoint will have it, the possibility to use it. We will see.
You said it's not useful on Office 365, but is it possible to enable
No, it's not possible. It's not possible. It is not there. It is not possible. It is a farm feature. So we cannot activate it. That's the only people that can activate that is Microsoft self. And it is not activated because it makes no sense. Because yeah, but that is all the customizations that we make for 365 are sandbox customizations, by definition. If the dashboard doesn't present information about sandbox, so you don't get information about the things that you are looking for. So unfortunately, but anyway, we will see. Yes.
Well, I'm planning to use this in a production environment, and of course for the administrators. Is there still some overhead if some other user is viewing the page?
No.
No.
It's only in the page that is activated in the session where you are logged in. So, no, there is in the performance. That is a theoretical issue. You know, it is in fact. It's nothing, but it is a good use to use it only if you need it. Okay. No, thank you very much.